There are few things that stir up memories and nostalgia, like a discussion on the West Country's lost railways, Bodmin to Padstow, Newquay to Chasewater, South Brent to Kingsbridge. There are too many to mention, most of them lost around 60 years ago. But now, of course, there are moves afoot to restore some of the ghost trains of the past. Exeter is once again connected to Okehampton, and I saw online the North Cornwall MP Ben Maguire says he's going to be writing to the Secretary of State to ask for a study on extending the line to Launceston and Bude. And this time last year, exactly this time last year, we heard about the campaign to restore services between Biddeford and Barnstaple. So how is that going? Let's talk to Roger Blake, shall we, from the Northern Devon Rail Development Partnership. Hi, Roger. It's now 40 years since that track was lifted. Is it going to be coming back?
We are increasingly confident that it will, Michael. Good morning and Happy New Year to all your listeners. And it's been an eventful 2025, and we don't expect 2026 to be much different.
So give us an update then. Where do we stand now? What's happened in the last 12 months?
Right. More and more representative organisations have joined in the conversation. There is good prospects for that number to increase as we go into 2026. We're now talking in round figures about three dozen representative organisations, all the way from parish councils up to the UNESCO biosphere and the county council, the new county combined authority, and so forth. We have done some particular business case development work. So we have what we're calling preliminary strategic business cases, both for extending mainline services from Exeter via Barnstaple to Biddeford, and also, very sorely needed, is a significant upgrade of the capacity and the resilience of the existing line between Exeter and Barnstaple.
Yeah,
so there's two parallel pieces of work going on.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who knows it will know that that Tarka line can be vulnerable to all manner of problems, be it often flooding or if there's weekend maintenance. It often seems to be the case. It's a line that if one's going to be shut, it is that one.
Yes, it is operating right at or even beyond the margins of what is really certainly acceptable or even technically feasible. The timetable is absolutely boxed in. So the minute there's the least little wobble, the whole thing, kind of like a pack of dominoes, gets into trouble, and it can take until the next day before anything resembling a regular service resumes. So this is not pleading from a position of weakness. This is affirming to people who are potential funders that this is a worthy case for investment, because we would be building on outstanding success. Despite all the problems the Tarka line has, it has had another year of record-breaking growth. It is not just one of the best-performing lines in Devon. It's one of the best-performing in the wider southwest. And even when one looks at the national statistics, Devon and the southwest, because of the success of Barnstaple, stand out head and shoulders above most of the rest of the pack. So this, we contend, is a highly investable proposition.
You mentioned funders. Let me come back to that in just a second. But I just want to pick up first on something else you talked about. You reckon the reintroduction of services, both on an upgraded Tarka line between Exeter and Barnstaple and on an extension between Barnstaple and Biddeford, could have a significant impact on the local economy?
Yes. One of the particular pieces of work that my organisation, Rail Future, which is a member of the alliance which you mentioned, we were able to commission, with funding support from local councils, a specific assessment of the economic impact. It's an early pass to feed into that preliminary strategic business case. And while there are a number of variables in the assessment, what is very encouraging is that if we get some of the key variables lined up to reduce the cost, to maximize the advantage the line takes of inevitable housing growth, to reduce the journey time and increase the frequency on the existing line, then the scale of the economic benefits accruing to Biddeford could be very, very substantial. Biddeford is not going to be some little railway station tucked away that hardly anybody uses at the end of a long line. the projections suggest that it could be in the top 25 or even top 20% of all stations in Britain for the scale of usage. So we're talking about something on the scale of a Totnes or a Digby and Sowton or a Poole in Dorset or a Western Supermare. That's the scale of use which Biddeford, by the time it opens, could reasonably expect to see.
Now, all of this, of course, is very well, and it's a great picture that you paint, but none of it can happen if there isn't any money. You mentioned funding. We know the government is scarcely flush with funds at the moment. How's it going to be paid for?
That is the question that many, many people ask, and of course, it will inevitably come from a variety of sources, most likely. So central government ultimately will have to make a significant contribution. But in the meantime, the money to actually build it is not our primary concern. Our primary concern is to convince government that there is a credible business case to go forward and raise the few hundred million that we need anyway. So we're talking about six-figure sums to continue the whole process of building. It sounds dreary and, you know, like watching paint dry. Business cases, but there's no way of avoiding it. We don't make the rules and we pay a price if we don't abide by them. So we're taking a very pragmatic and sober approach to this, wanting to manage expectations because, yes, it is a long haul. And there are questions about how much will it cost? When will it open? Well, those are very good questions. And the various organizations that are joining the conversation are wanting to work with us to find the answers to those questions and play their part in contributing to those answers as well.
What's the next stage then, Roger? What should we be looking out for in the news to think, oh, that's got past the next hurdle?
Okay, so the Combined County Authority, which I mentioned, from the 1st of April, is lining up to become the transport authority for Devon and Torbay. So we are looking to work increasingly closely with them. They recently adopted the new local transport plan for 2025 to 2040, in which both the upgrade of the existing line and its extension to Biddeford are referenced, as they are in a number of other official documents. So essentially, the next step is we need a proper Department for Transport Treasury compliance strategic outline business case. That is the kind of ticket that we need to buy to enter the whole process of enhancing, in the railway industry's language, enhancing the services between Exeter and Torridge at Biddeford.
We will keep our eyes open. I mentioned just now there's pressure in Bude, for example, perhaps to see the Okehampton line extended back towards Bude and the North Cornish coast. We've seen in the last 6 months or so the go-ahead given for the reintroduction of stations at Columpton and Wellington. Obviously, that's a slightly different thing because the line already existed there. That's new stations or reinstatement of stations on an existing line. Do projects like this help, or does it kind of distract attention from what you want to achieve as far as you're concerned?
No, it doesn't distract. It's all part of the wider conversations, and there are always learning points to come out of each and every one of these. And inevitably, no two cases are exactly alike, but one looks for the similarities. So we are looking, for example, at the lessons that can be learned from the Mid-Cornwall Metro, phase one of which we expect to open this year with services doubled between Parr and Newquay. And that has involved opening a second platform at Newquay, putting in an additional passing loop. The other one that we're keeping a keen eye on is Tavistock, which only got so far through the previous government's Restoring Your Railways programme, but at least it got to the stage that we need to get to for Biddeford. At least they had a strategic outline business case. Mm. So they're also looking for funding to move on to their next business case stage. And I think that illustrates that when you mentioned Bude, one of the key criteria that people will look at is the scale of population that will be served. And there's a kind of entry point. Network Rail did a study, and their pass mark, if you like, was an absolute minimum population of 10,000, as well as being more than 3 miles from an existing station. Well, Bude certainly is that. But I think the difference between Bude and Biddeford is that Biddeford has a very frequent scheduled commercial bus service. It's snared by all the huge traffic congestion problems in Barnstaple, and the immediate target for people in Bude is at least to upgrade their bus service to demonstrate a market for greater public transport use. So all of these things are slow and steady.
It's interesting times. I'm pleased we were able to catch up with you today, having spoken to you, as I say, I know exactly a year ago, to see how things are going. Roger, we shall watch with interest. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Roger Blake from the Northern Devon Rail Development Partnership.